This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Browns, Steelers tonight. We double-checked a few things. And, you know, Anthony's sitting there taking phone calls, which is really good. And that gave him a little time to double-check something. Anthony, what'd you find on that Tomlin thought from John in Stowe?
So the Steelers have never won a road divisional Thursday night football game.
Ever.
They're 0-7 all time and 0-5 under Mike Tomlin.
So it's 0-7 all time for Steelers on Thursday night in the division road game.
Correct.
And 0-5, it's 0-5 on divisional Thursday night games, period, or just on the road?
All time on the road.
That's interesting.
It is weird, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah.
It's a weird stat.
You would certainly think so. That's the case. Let's go to our buddy, Nick Costos, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
What's going on, guys? Great to be on with you.
Yeah,
you
good to have you, especially on a game day. Boy,
yeah,
how about
loving
that?
Loving it for the Cleveland Browns.
Loving
Brown
that.
Steelers, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
We just had a stat from our guy, Anthony. Well, somebody called and threw this one at us, and Anthony did some double-checking and got a little more precise on it, a little more accurate. 0-5 divisional road games on Thursday night for Mike Tomlin. Does that sound right to you? That sounds like, wow, really?
Yeah, I just think like these short week divisional games in the AFC North, probably not easy. I don't know if that's, I think it's interesting. I don't know if it's something I would take and say, I'm going to make a bet because of this. Also, if we're talking about it on the radio, then everyone knows. Like people that are, like if you're someone that's betting hundreds of thousands of dollars, let's say, like, and I'm not saying I'm one of those people,
wow,
but if you are one of those people.
Goodness gracious.
Well, I wouldn't be doing this right now. But if you were one of those people, like you would make it your business to know stuff like that and like determine if it matters or not. So I think it's interesting. I would not use that as a reason, though, to make a bet in tonight's game with the Browns and the Steelers. There are other good reasons to make bets tonight. I don't think that's one of them.
What are some other good reasons?
Well, do you want to start with the side or the total? You guys tell me. Dealer's choice.
Let's go total.
Okay, the total, that's a great choice. I think it's way more interesting.
Thank you very much.
So how's the weather there right now?
It's not as bad as we were led to believe.
It was bad this morning.
Yeah, there was snow coming down, but there's no snow on the ground here in downtown.
Well, not as bad as we were led to believe is a perfect way to put it. I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Thank you.
Because when this game opened on Sunday night into Monday morning, the total was 40.5. And as the week has gone on, it has been bet down, and I just did a refresh of my screen. We're at 37 right now.
Wow.
This was 36.5 yesterday. So, you know, you guys are in Cleveland, so you guys like just go outside and see what the weather is. But,
yeah,
you know, generally, wind is what screws up a passing game. And when there's heavy wind, and we call them, like in betting, the Browns play a couple years in like fake games, we call them. Because the wind is so bad, the lake effect, the wind coming off the lake, that like, it's not professional football. Like whatever it is, it's like it's not actual real football. Like think about it. We see like two games every year in Cleveland that are like this. And we were thinking, maybe this is going to be one of those games, which is why the total came down so low. It doesn't look like right now from what I'm seeing, and you could Google this, like Cleveland weather. There's also a website, NFLweather.com, that aggregates all this stuff. So right now for tonight, likely rain showers. This morning it was like guaranteed. So now we're just down to likely rain. And the wind says 10 miles per hour. Like you're looking for 25 miles per hour or more to screw up a passing game. So I think we're going to get pretty decent conditions for offense tonight. And the other thing is, with rain, I think the misnomer, guys, is if it's heavy rain, like, you can't play offense in the rain. Actually, like, rain helps the offense. Because if the field is wet, like the wide receivers, for instance, they know where they're going before the play is run. The defense doesn't know where the offensive players are going. So it actually provides the offense with an advantage. So my sense is, if the weather holds and we're not going to have heavy winds and we're not going to have like Noah's Ark level torrential downpours here, I think the total is going to get bet up. I like the over, and this is not... Everything I'm saying right now does not guarantee the game's going to be high scoring. Like, it can organically be a bad game and be low scoring. Like, that can happen. I just think there's current value on the total. I'll bet over 37.
And you're saying over, and knowing that the Browns have only hit 20 over 20 once all season long, right?
Well,
you're still saying that.
Well, I mean, one of them was against the Chargers, and that's a really good defense. One of them was with Jameis Winston against the Ravens, right, a couple weeks ago before the bye.
They've only had it once.
Yeah, just the Ravens game.
But also, you know, like, and you guys know this, they had a billion yards of offense last week against the Saints, and only. So this is not like it was like how many yards Jameis threw for 350 last week?
395.
So they scored 14 points, but I mean they could have had way more in that game against the Saints. Like
exactly.
that's an unlucky. I'm not saying the Browns should have won the game. They did not. They should not have won the game. But I mean, like, you look at that box score and say how many points did the Browns score? You would have guessed over 20.
So you started in on this game a little bit. What else do you like in this game?
Yeah, I like the Browns a little bit, guys, plus the points now. This was, and this will be shameless self-promotion, my show is on 5 days a week and also on Sundays. And on Mondays, we always talk about all the games coming up for the week.
Do you get
try and get ahead of the betting market.
Hang on, do you get an extra paycheck for that 6 day? Because we're just curious how that works.
What's the right answer to this question to say on the air?
You know, I'm happy with what I do, and they could pay me nothing because I love my job so much.
Don't go with that, guys.
I'm thrilled with what I do, and they don't have to pay me anything to do it. and I'll say something else. I'll say something else behind closed doors. This was 4.5 on Sunday night into Monday. Steelers 4.5. So the betting market like disagrees with that. We're down to 3.5. There is a difference between those two numbers. If I had to bet right now, and I did bet Browns plus 4.5, 3.5 and 4.5 are not the same. So, like, I have a good number right now. Listen to my show on Mondays when we talk about all this stuff. We try to get ahead of the market. But at 3.5, I would still bet Cleveland in the game. I know the Steelers beat the Ravens on Sunday, and I don't know how much Browns fans were watching that game because the Browns-Saints game was going on. Russell Wilson was terrible in that game. He was terrible. And if Justin Tucker... like, hits a couple of it. He went 1 for 3, and Chris Boswell went 6 for 6. If that gets reversed a little bit, the Ravens win. And then what's the point spread of this game? So I do like the Browns a little bit, plus 3.5. I would not bet the Steelers, and I like the over in the game tonight as well.
Our Odyssey Sports betting insider, Nick Costos, is joining us. We've chatted a little bit about the quarterback situation here. Jameis throws for 395 in New Orleans. The wide receivers here look significantly better with Jameis at quarterback. What have you thought since he's taken over here and he stacks another pretty good game last week?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if things really spiral out of control, if Kevin Stefanski would lose his job. I hope not. And I know a lot of Browns fans kind of like want him to get fired. I think what you've seen, and look, the season is obviously degenerated, like out of control at this point. Like, the season was held hostage by Deshaun Watson for way too long. But I mean, you see right now, so think about what Jameis Winston's doing, and then think about what basically every non-Deshaun Watson Browns quarterback did last year, and I guess like PJ Walker to a degree as well. Think Flacco down the stretch. Think about, like, Joe Flacco was so bad in his two starts a couple weeks ago for the Colts, then he got benched for a guy the Colts had benched in Anthony Richardson. So I'm saying all of this to say Joe Flacco lit the world on fire at the end of the season last year in the Stefanski offense. Like, the wins and losses aren't there. They're racking up tons of yards in the passing attack here. So, you know, Jameis is not going to be probably the week one starting. And if he is, he's a bridge to a rookie, right? Like, it'll probably be a new starting quarterback, hopefully like a rookie for Stefanski. I don't know, man. It gives me a lot of optimism if I'm a Browns fan, that once you are free of this Deshaun Watson misery, that the team can start cooking again big time. Because this is not like two of the better starting quarterbacks in the league. Flacco at the end of last year went to the playoffs. Jameis this year in three games. Like, if they can put... And again, it's not like this is Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski catching the ball. It's Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Elijah Moore, and David Njoku. And I'm not trying to poo-poo those guys. Just that this is not like the 1984 49ers offense. And they're still putting up all these yards. I feel like get rid of Deshaun Watson, get a new quarterback in, and I think the Browns are back next year.
I just want to switch gears for a second. What do you think about with this Brown or with this Buckeye Indiana game coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, I like Ohio State in the game. Ohio State is a 13.5 point home favorite. To me, guys, like the Ohio State part of this is not really that interesting. Like, I think Ohio State's going to win. I think they're going to cover. The point spread's been bet up. We're now at 13.5, so it's just, will it go to 14 or not? And again, think about the way scoring works. Like, 14 is a more important number than 13.5, right? Touchdowns being 7 points. I probably don't have to say things like that, but I did. My apologies. So I like Ohio State. I think the Buckeyes win. I think they win big. Ohio State, to me, is not the interesting part in this game. It's Indiana. And I'll just give you, like, 15 seconds on this.
Sure.
This is going to sound like I'm saying it for shtick or for entertainment. I mean it. I think Indiana needs to cover the spread to make the college football playoff. Ooh. And by that, I mean, I think if, let's say Ohio State wins, like, 38-7, and Ohio, like, thrashes them. I think the committee, at the end of the year, will look at Indiana at 11-1 and say, like, why couldn't, you know, Texas A&M with three losses go 11-1 with that same schedule. And I think they'll get dinged in favor of a multi-loss team likely from the SEC. But if Indiana loses, let's say, 27-20 and keeps this within shouting distance, I think Indiana gets in even with the loss to Ohio State. So to me, like, that's what's interesting about this game. I don't think Indiana's going to win. Just can they keep it close enough to not give the committee a choice to put them in when the final playoff rankings come out?
Where's the interesting place to wager on some of this? As to who might get in the playoffs? Is that something that you have out there already?
Yeah, let's,
that you're thinking about?
Let's see. Does MGM have this open right now? So, like, as we get closer, like, at MGM, you can just bet national championship now. Like, the playoff, like, because if they put a playoff market up, like, you can't put Oregon in the market. Like, Oregon's making it, for instance, right? So, it's just national championship winner right now. I guess, you know, if you like Indiana to win the game, you could bet Indiana to win the Big Ten. They're 100-1. I don't think Indiana's going to win, but I guess like that would be a way to do it. The only college football playoff like winner bet that I like right now, if I had to bet one, I guess you could look at Ole Miss as a little interesting at 11. I would look at Georgia. They're tied for the third choice in the market behind the two Big Ten teams, Ohio State and Oregon. With the way this shook out on Tuesday night. So this is current, right? Things can change and will change, obviously, over the final couple of weeks. Georgia is like not going to be the SEC champion, most likely. Right now, Georgia would go to Notre Dame in the first round. Like, Notre Dame's not winning that game. And then Georgia, if it holds, would then go to Texas in the second round. How'd that game go when they played earlier this year? And if Carson Beck plays like he did on Saturday night against Tennessee, where he didn't turn the football over, I think this is the best team.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Georgia would be the way I would look if I were betting the national championship winner right now.
You know what? I think you're 100% right, and I didn't think about it until you said it, but Indiana absolutely gets killed by the fact that this is the only real ranked team they're going to play, And, you know, they like, because they didn't get Oregon or Penn State on their schedule this year. Had they won, if they win one of those games, I think you're right. I also think the committee is going to look at it when it's all said and done and say, four Big Ten teams out of 12, but, you know, we wouldn't mind doing it. But you're right. If Indiana doesn't look good against Ohio State on Saturday, I think it was a great point you brought up.
It's, look, it's a beauty. Whether we like it or not, it's a beauty pageant. And look, I again, if Indiana gets slammed, I actually think the committee has a it's not something that they do and we're like, I can't believe they did this. I think it's actually a legitimate argument to make. If Ohio State beats them 45-3, it's like, great. What's Indiana's best win? Michigan?
That's it. Yep.
Michigan's terrible. You know, like, and then they could say, well, like, what would, so if Ohio State wins 45-3 and you put, I'm just using A&M as an example, A&M on a neutral against Indiana, who's favored in that game? Oh. A&M's favored.
Yes.
So it's what happens then. So I know it sounds hokey and it sounds like I'm staying it for entertainment.
No.
I actually think Indiana needs to cover the spread. And what I actually mean by that is keep this game relatively close to make sure that Indiana gets into the playoffs.
Coming up in the noon hour. Is this like crossing enemy lines? Are we allowed to do this?
It's a weird dynamic. Like, I don't think a lot of people know the Rooneys have some roots here. Not roots, educational roots here in Northeast Ohio, which I think is, I find totally interesting. We'll talk to Jim Rooney about that coming up a little bit later. I mean, they've been around Northeast Ohio for a long time, since late 60s. The Rooneys have gone to school here in Northeast Ohio. I don't know if a lot of people know it or not.
Dan Rooney, son of Art Rooney, had 9 kids.
Yeah.
Did he send all of them to school here?
There's a couple. So Jim Rooney went here. Art Rooney II went here. Why am I forgetting him? I think there were 3 Rooneys that came through.
Maybe he didn't like his kids.
No, Jimmy Rooney.
Just sent him away. Didn't live at home.
Jimmy Rooney, who is Jim's son, also went to high school around here. Was a pretty good football player, too, around Northeast Ohio.
All right. So we're going to talk to a member of the Rooney family.
Yeah. Maybe we can get some insight on what it's like to have a calm, cool, collective fan base and understand what it's like to win.
And an extremely patient ownership.
Extremely. 3 coaches, really?
I thought it was weird, kind of, to hear yesterday in one of our Odyssey Sports Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was talking about, I forget who it was, they were talking about ownership and patience, and it listed a couple of teams, then ownership and patience, and it said, patience is what wins in the NFL. Consistency, continuity.
It was Boomer, wasn't it?
Owners need to understand that. It wasn't Boomer.
It wasn't Boomer?
No. And I thought it was interesting to hear that. We threw out earlier, Browns Steelers today. What do you want to see in these last 7 games from the Browns? Because I do think, even though they're 2-8, I think there are things that can happen in these last 7 games that will be critical for this team moving forward in some way, shape, or form. Frank is in Gates Mills. Frank, welcome.
Hey, Frank. Hey,
good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right.
You?
Thank you.
So I'm going to answer your question, but I first want to ask you guys, like, who's the most beloved Browns player today?
Nick Chubb.
In your opinion?
Nick Chubb.
I completely agree. What does Nick Chubb not do when he's playing the game?
He doesn't talk very much.
He doesn't celebrate. He just plays the game and tries as hard as he can.
Yep.
And does the best that he can.
Which I've always appreciated. I love that.
Right. So you ask what I want to see. I don't want to see the Browns defense dancing at any point in time. I don't care if they score a touchdown, they recover a fumble, hand the ball back to the referee, and go back on the sidelines. I just want to see good effort and an attitude that makes it feel like they're actually trying out there. I don't even care if they win. I want to leave the game with the opinion that they actually cared about trying to win and that they were trying on the field. That's all I want to see. I don't think that's that hard. And stop dancing after a second down tackle 5 yards down the field.
Frank, I can't argue with that.
It's a bad look. I understand why they did it when they first started doing it. And, you know, you've got a defensive coordinator that wants these guys to celebrate when they have an achievement, because it's really hard to have an achievement in the NFL. But I think they're pros, man. You should expect to achieve. I don't have any problem with a sack dance, you know, or you do something that's significant that affects, you know, the outcome of everything. But a regular tackle, do we really have to, like, you know, the other one that drives me nuts is first down. Okay, a player gets a first down. It's your job, man.
And they stand up and make the big point?
Yeah.
Everything else?
Yeah.
If it's
especially if it's less than 10.
Yeah, I agree with that. There was some game, was it Sunday night or Monday night? I forget what it was. But somebody was getting shellacked, and then somebody made a play for the team that was getting shellacked on offense and started to celebrate. And I just thought, dude, you're getting smashed here. Well, what are you doing? It's just it's a bad look. It makes it look like you're not really interested in your team and your team situation as much as you are. Look what I did. And it's just bad look.
Look what I can do.
It's just a bad look, don't you think?
Yes. Mad Magazine had I'm trying to remember the actor that did it. It was a guy that was older that acted like he was like 6 years old, and every time he would do something, he'd be, look what I can do. Okay, enough. We get it. We understand it. Great play. It's awesome. You got a sack, do any dance you want. But on a 5-yard tackle, just because you made a tackle doesn't mean you have to say, look at me. Done.
How's that go again?
Look at me. Look what I can do.
You almost repeated that like perfectly, like you said it before.
That's going to drive
me. It's very impressive. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the actor's name. I got to give him credit because it was his. Hang on. I got to give him credit.
I give you a lot of credit for that. That was really good. We're going to get more into the Browns coming up in a little bit. Guardians made a trade yesterday, Andy.
Hang on. Can I give this guy credit? Because I feel bad.
You feel bad because some guy who doesn't know you or ever listens to our show, you need to give him credit.
Michael McDonald was his name. He's an actor. Talented actor. Okay. Now I feel better. Look at me. Right. There were some really, really good players on that show. Ari Spears was on that show. Nicole Sullivan. Who we see Mo Collins is all over the place. Alex Bornstein, who does a ton of, she's on Family Guy. She's Lois and does a ton of voices on there. Ike
That's
Barnholtz.
Great.
Oh, Keenan Michael Key is on there too. I mean, they had so many great people on that show. It was just, I don't know why it never made Saturday Night Live status.
Please, we can't take any more shtick.
No idea what you're talking about.
Mad TV?
No.
You never saw it? It was on Fox.
I think I saw it many years ago, but
wow.
I didn't watch a ton of it, I guess.
I'm sure I forgot somebody big too.
Guess I didn't watch a ton of it.
That's too bad.
Yes, I didn't. Guardians made a trade yesterday. And I think I have a ton of trust in the management of this team. And I think baseball trades can be somewhat interesting. But you traded a guy who was a pretty effective pitcher for you in Eli Morgan. And I think gave you some versatility because if you wanted to, you could have maybe made him a starter if you take him back that way. Because remember when he came up, he was a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him in the bullpen. I'm curious to see what they do and why the trade was made. Because you don't usually give up starting pitching, especially for a guy, you know, who is under team control for a while. Now, arbitration eligible, but I wouldn't think that Eli would break the bank. You know, he'll do okay. But I think the along with probably getting a young prospect who they think might be interesting. And I like that Alfonso Rosario, who is the young guy's name, who, if you knew anything about him before the trade, congratulations to you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. And I love following prospects. I didn't know about him. But interesting young outfielder with some pop. Okay, great. Maybe you can develop that guy. They got rid of George Valera off their 40 man. So maybe they think, let's put another outfielder with some pop, you know, in the organization. We'll see. I think the curious thing here, Andy, is it opens up a spot on the 40-man roster.
True.
So what's that do for you?
Minor leaguer?
Free agent maybe coming in. You're clearing the deck so you can go do something. You can make a trade. You can do something else.
If you're going to make a trade, though, that might clear up something on the 40-man too. So
there are some decisions they have to make about certain guys on the team. I would think, can you tell me, is there a decision to make on Josh Naylor? And I say that because Josh Naylor is a free agent after next season. He's arbitration eligible. He had a big year. He's in his last year of arbitration. You have Kyle Manzardo sitting there, who would appear to not have a position. You have a decision to make there? Or is it a no-brainer? You just pay him, try to sign him long-term, and bring him back?
I think they need to make it. I don't think they're getting rid of Naylor. Is that really the gist of what we're talking about here?
Kinda.
Is it just Naylor? I think they're bringing him back.
I don't know if it's just Naylor, but I do think there's a decision they have to make there. You know, I love Josh Naylor. I love the way he plays. I love the way he hits. I love the attitude, a little bit of swag that he brings to the team. What I don't like is, you know, he's built like a guy who you think, wow, is that body going to hold up? You know, he had the major injury from the outfield collision, and that had, I would think, absolutely nothing to do with his build. He's just a big guy. And, you know, big guys can succeed at baseball. Can they last a long time? Yeah, sometimes they can. I wonder if that's a concern for the organization. I don't know that it's a concern for me, but it might be a concern for this. If you want to sign a guy to a long-term contract and give him a ton of money on a team that doesn't sign guys to long-term contracts very often and give them tons of money, I wonder if that would be a detriment. What do you think?
That's a good question. They'll contemplate it. I mean, obviously, I've never seen a team that runs numbers more than the Guardians do to try to figure out exact worth and stuff like that. And they rarely make a mistake when it comes to trying to figure out contract length and trying to go forward. Like Nick Swisher might be the only big mistake, that the Swisher Bourne deal.
Yeah.
Bourne, I think they got some return on. But
the one thing that makes me pause, Josh Naylor had numbers last year that are hard to walk away from.
True.
You know? And I don't know if you walk away from those numbers. I thought they were really impressive. Over 30 homers, over 100 runs batted in. Stay tuned. We'll see what happens there. Could something be brewing with the Cavs that might make you think, is that too much? That's extremely vague, I know. But is it something that could lead to a change? We're going to get into that next on Baskin and Phelps.
Jeff, yesterday I was at, I grabbed something to eat really quick at a fast food place. And I was ordering, and I was standing at a board, and I was ordering something really quick.
Yeah.
And there was a woman who was in the restaurant. I don't want to say the name of the restaurant. And she looked at me like she saw a ghost. And I turned around, and she goes, are you Andy Baskin? I was like, yeah. And she's like, I'm listening to the Baskin and Phelps podcast right now. I'm catching up. She had her earbuds in.
Wow.
And I was like, are you serious? That's the first time it's ever happened. So thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And we had a really good conversation. She enjoys the podcast. And I'm always like, she's like, I love this because sometimes when I miss your show, I can just go listen to it a little bit later. And she listens every day. And so thank you. Appreciate you.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a bizarre moment. I mean,
I can honestly tell you.
We've been doing this media thing for a long time. That's the first time that's ever happened.
We don't take for granted that people take time to listen to us.
This is true.
We do take for granted that we, you know, infuriate people and they call us imbeciles.
It's a good point.
That one is interesting. There's something going on with the Cavs.
But if the shoe fits, Jeff.
There's something going on with the Cavs other than 16-1 that I want to get to in a minute.
Okay.
Jimmy and Willoughby is following up what we were talking about the Guardians last segment.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hi. What do they say? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Woo-hoo! Terrific. Thank you.
Listen to you guys all the time, though. I love it.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you, too.
I just, you know, Captain Obvious here, but the Guardians really know when to get rid of people. I mean, think of when they traded Kluber. So obviously that probably played into Eli Morgan and anyone else they get rid of. They have a very uncanny good sense of that. And, you know, the crapshoot's actually what you're getting back. But they really do seem to know when it's time to move on.
You know what's weird? You know there's another team that's kind of like that. I think they'll be at the stadium tonight, and they won't be wearing orange. That team with black and gold helmets seems to know when to get rid of guys at the right time, too, don't they?
At personnel talent. I mean, yeah. You know, they know what they're doing, and we have to trust them. You know, and it may be that we find out, you know, who's the pitcher with the long hair? Mike?
Clevinger.
Clevinger, yeah, mm-hmm. They knew when to get rid of him. It just seems like they really know what they're doing.
And they got a haul for him, including Josh Naylor.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Jimmy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate you listening. And it gets really true. And this makes people mad, but that's one of the reasons, and would be wonderful if you went ahead and you spent gazillions of dollars on players and you were the Yankees or the Dodgers. Dodgers also develop guys. But to me, the way they go about their business in trading, like Jimmy said, trading guys, you know, maybe at the right time, a year too early instead of a year too late, and bringing up and developing and finding guys in other organizations and everything else. I love watching that. I love watching this team do that kind of work. And there's something going on with the Cavaliers that makes me think right now, is there something else there that this could be something like that? And I don't know that it's true. Let me explain it.
Sure, go ahead.
Take a look at what they're doing right now. They're playing really good basketball. It's been fun to watch. They're wildly entertaining right now. And they have a couple of guys who are stepping up and doing things that it's like, whoa, wait a minute. For instance, Ty Jerome last night.
Okay.
Ty with 29 points. And I've been saying all season here, hey, watch what he's doing coming off the bench, because he's coming in and he's impacting games. Now, I don't expect him to score 29 points every game. Main reason why? Not that kind of a player, and doesn't get the playing time because he's playing behind Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. And you know how much I like Caris LeVert. Well, Caris is a guard. You see where I'm going here?
Oh, I see exactly
Sam
where
you're Merrill going. Can flat out shoot. Sam's a guard. Craig Porter Jr. is a guy they signed to an extension. And when he comes into the game, two nights ago in Boston, he had 15 points. It was one of the key reasons they got back in the game. And he's a guard. You have, I'm not going to say duplication of skill sets, but you do have redundancy at a position that has become a huge position of strength. Garland, Mitchell, Ty Jerome, Caris LeVert, Craig Porter. You might be able to throw Jalen Tyson into that, who is their first-round draft choice, who really, and he started to do this in the preseason, showing an all-around game. Andy, last night, he was incredible. He played a lot of minutes because the Cavs were down bodies. He played 37 minutes. He had 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists.
Hmm.
And he can't get on the floor for this team.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He can't get on the floor. And he clearly deserves playing time, but he's not going to get it here. This screams trade.
Because?
Because of the redundancy of position. However,
you're 16-1, though.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah. Right. Please. Because you can say please. You don't have to just be
because,
stop.
Because. Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second, if you don't mind, because I'm gonna wrap up this point.
Okay. Keep going. Please is often a nice word to use in our language. Yes.
How formal do we want to be, Mr. Baskin?
Pass the potatoes.
Careful.
Yes.
So you're 16-1. This screams redundancy of skills of position, some different skills. But because you're 16-1 and the way you got there, I don't think you have to bust anything up. In fact, I would think it's probably a really bad idea. And I say it because of this. Kenny Atkinson's offense has allowed him to play a lot of guys, and they've been able to go a little Golden State. You can go small and throw four guys out there who are small and make it work. And you can go big lineup with Dean Wade and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and make it work. And I say it because that's the way Kenny has coached this team. I think it's pretty cool. But just keep in mind down the road here, and before you say they need a small forward, look what you're getting out of Jalen Tyson in a very small sample size. I want to see more, but I don't know that we're going to. Look what you're getting out of Ty Jerome. You're going to get plenty of him. Think of what Golden State did. They always had that other guy, you know, who would come in and be able to impact the game. Maybe Ty Jerome can really become that for the Cavs.
All I can say, there are two things I can say here. Like, one, I think that the redundancy has proven to be great for a team that's played more games than anybody else in less nights than the Cavaliers.
They've been able to go deep and play a lot of guys, which is what Atkinson said he was going to do, and he's done it.
Yeah, and then also raise your hand and be honest. You knew who JT Thor was before last night's game? Anybody? You did. Yeah, of course you did. Did you, Hody, did you know who JT Thor was?
JT Thor?
Thank you. Perfect. That's exactly. You answered the question. Thank you. I mean, he only had 2 points all season long, and last night he was able to get 12 in 13 minutes. So
right.
But again, I just I really believe it's coaching. And I think it's coaching because he's been able to take the puzzle pieces and make them fit. A lot of times you can have all the pieces, but if you don't put them out there the right way, that it's going to look like bad art. So I don't know. I'm just every night it's a different name. It's Craig Porter Jr. I mean, Tristan got in last night. Come on, man.
You've got a lot of guys though that can play in the backcourt. And I just
front court, basketball, he's making all the right moves.
I just think we should pay attention. You're 16-1. The last thing this team needs right now is to bust it up. Okay? Why would you do that?
I'm really hesitant on breaking it up right now. I know why you would the piece you want.
If something happens and some guy from one other team becomes hugely available, let's just say a stud small forward, a stud power forward, somebody really good, and they want a point guard, and you've got Darius here, and I don't want to trade Darius. Do not get me wrong. But I just think it gives Kobe Altman some food for thought, because Kenny Atkinson is getting great stuff out of Ty Jerome. Craig Porter has played really well. LeVert looks like LeVert when he played for Kenny Atkinson before. And then you got Jalen Tyson stepping in and doing what he did last night. And the way he passes the ball, he can play guard at 6'6". It's something to think about. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We're well.
Hey.
Yeah, listen, the Cavs, how exciting this season has been so far. I mean, and I'm with you, Jeff. I'll just full disclosure, I was a little upset when they let JB go. I thought, he'd done a good job. He'd taken the team a little forward every year. And so I was scratching my head on that. But, wow, the change has been amazing, and I'm loving every minute of it. And to me, I think the couple biggest parts of it are that we're fourth best in the entire NBA in points in the paint. And I love the emphasis on the guys getting into the paint and scoring in the paint. I mean, you have two big guys.
Yeah, and it's not just the big guys, Kevin. You're right about that.
You're right, yes. Everybody's getting into paint. And when you have two big guys in there, it helps the other guys also, creates open lanes and things like that for the other guys to drive in. And I think that's fantastic. And surprisingly, by the way, we are the number one team in three-point shooting percentage. But then that goes along with our number of shots have gone down. So I love the direction that our coach has taken us. More emphasis in the paint, more emphasis, less emphasis on three-point shot. And it's clearly led to a lot of wins. And I'm with you, Jeff. I'm very excited when I see LeVert and Jerome come in. Pound sign, time Jerome, sixth man of the year. I think he could make a run at it.
Kevin, thank you very much. So
nothing better than a verbal hashtag.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here where you're looking at this and seeing so much depth that guys aren't going to play. And I don't know that it screams trade. In fact, I think it screams anything but, because you're 16-1. But there are some things on the table here. Would you like stand pat, folks? I say yes, but keep your eyes open. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Jeff, yesterday I was at, I grabbed something to eat really quick at a fast food place, and I was ordering, and I was standing at a board, and I was ordering something really quick.
Yeah.
And there was a woman who was in the restaurant, I don't want to say the name of the restaurant, and she looked at me like she saw a ghost, and I turned around, and she goes, are you Andy Baskin? I was like, yeah. And she's like, I'm listening to the Baskin and Phelps podcast right now. I'm catching up. She had her earbuds in.
Wow.
And I was like, are you serious? That's the first time it's ever happened. So thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And we had a really good conversation. She enjoys the podcast. And I'm always like, she's like, I love this because sometimes when I miss your show, I can just go listen to it a little bit later. And she listens every day. And so thank you. Appreciate you.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a bizarre moment. I mean,
I can honestly tell you.
We've been doing this media thing for a long time. That's the first time that's ever happened.
We don't take for granted that people take time to listen to us.
This is true.
We do take for granted that we, infuriate people and they call us imbeciles.
It's a good point.
That one is interesting. There's something going on with the Cavs.
But if the shoe fits, Jeff.
There's something going on with the Cavs other than 16-1 that I want to get to in a minute.
Okay.
Jimmy and Willoughby is following up what we were talking about the Guardians last segment.
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hi. What do they say? Long time listener, first time caller.
Woo-hoo! Terrific. Thank you.
Listen to you guys all the time, though. I love it.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you, too.
I just, you know, Captain Obvious here, but the Indians or the Guardians really know when to get rid of people. I mean, think of when they traded Kluber. So obviously that probably played into Eli Morgan and anyone else they get rid of. They have a very uncanny good sense of that. And, you know, the crapshoot's actually what you're getting back. But they really do seem to know when it's time to move on.
You know what's weird? You know there's another team that's kind of like that. I think they'll be at the stadium tonight, and they won't be wearing orange. That team with black and gold helmets seems to know when to get rid of guys at the right time, too, don't they?
At personnel talent. I mean, yeah. You know, they know what they're doing, and we have to trust them. You know, and it may be that we find out, you know, who's the pitcher with the long hair? Mike?
Clevinger?
Clevinger, yeah, mm-hmm. They knew when to get rid of him. It just seems like they really know what they're doing.
And they got a haul for him, including Josh Naylor.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Jimmy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate you listening. And it gets really true. And this makes people mad, but that's one of the reasons, and would be wonderful if you went ahead and you spent gazillions of dollars on players and you were the Yankees or the Dodgers. Dodgers also develop guys. But to me, the way they go about their business in trading, like Jimmy said, trading guys, you know, maybe at the right time, a year too early instead of a year too late, and bringing up and developing and finding guys in other organizations and everything else. I love watching that. I love watching this team do that kind of work. And there's something going on with the Cavaliers that makes me think right now, is there something else there that this could be something like that? And I don't know that it's true. Let me explain it.
Sure, go ahead.
Take a look at what they're doing right now. They're playing really good basketball. It's been fun to watch. They're wildly entertaining right now. And they have a couple of guys who are stepping up and doing things that it's like, whoa, wait a minute. For instance, Ty Jerome last night.
Okay.
Ty with 29 points. And I've been saying all season here, hey, watch what he's doing coming off the bench, because he's coming in and he's impacting games. Now, I don't expect him to score 29 points every game. Main reason why? Not that kind of a player, and doesn't get the playing time because he's playing behind Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. And you know how much I like Caris LeVert. Well, Caris is a guard. You see where I'm going here?
Oh, I see exactly
Sam
where
you're Merrill going. Can flat out shoot. Sam's a guard. Craig Porter Jr. is a guy they signed to an extension. And when he comes into the game, two nights ago in Boston, he had 15 points. It was one of the key reasons they got back in the game. And he's a guard. You have, I'm not going to say duplication of skill sets, but you do have redundancy at a position that has become a huge position of strength. Garland, Mitchell, Ty Jerome, Caris LeVert, Craig Porter. You might be able to throw Jalen Tyson into that, who is their first-round draft choice, who really, and he started to do this in the preseason, showing an all-around game. Andy, last night, he was incredible. He played a lot of minutes because the Cavs were down bodies. He played 37 minutes. He had 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists.
Hmm.
And he can't get on the floor for this team.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He can't get on the floor. And he clearly deserves playing time, but he's not going to get it here. This screams trade.
Because?
Because of the redundancy of position. However,
you're 16-1, though.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah, right. Please.
Because
you could say please. You don't have to just be
because,
stop.
Please. Hey, Andy,
yeah.
Hold on 1 second if you don't mind, because I'm gonna wrap up this point.
Okay, keep going. Please is often a nice word to use
in our
language. Yes.
How formal do we want to be, Mr. Baskin?
Pass the potatoes.
Careful.
Yes.
So you're 16-1. This screams redundancy of skills of position, some different skills. But because you're 16-1 and the way you got there, I don't think you have to bust anything up. In fact, I would think it's probably a really bad idea.
So,
and I say it because of this. Kenny Atkinson's offense has allowed him to play a lot of guys, and they've been able to go a little Golden State. You can go small and throw four guys out there who are small and make it work. And you can go big lineup with Dean Wade and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and make it work. And I say it because that's the way Kenny has coached this team. I think it's pretty cool. But just keep in mind down the road here, and before you say they need a small forward, look what you're getting out of Jalen Tyson in a very small sample size. I want to see more, but I don't know that we're going to. Look what you're getting out of Ty Jerome. You're going to get plenty of him. Think of what Golden State did. They always had that other guy, you know, who would come in and be able to impact the game. Maybe Ty Jerome can really become that for the Cavs.
All I can say, there are two things I can say here. Like, one, I think that the redundancy has proven to be great for a team that's played more games than anybody else in less nights than the Cavaliers.
They've been able to go deep and play a lot of guys, which is what Atkinson said he was going to do, and he's done it.
Yeah, and then also raise your hand and be honest. You knew who JT Thor was before last night's game? Anybody? You did. Yeah, of course you did. Did you, Hody, did you know who JT Thor was?
JT Thor?
Thank you. Perfect. That's exactly. You answered the question. Thank you. I mean, he only had 2 points all season long. Last night he was able to get 12 in 13 minutes. So.
Right.
I really believe it's coaching. And I think it's coaching because he's been able to take the puzzle pieces and make them fit. A lot of times you can have all the pieces, but if you don't put them out there the right way, that it's going to look like bad art. So I don't know. I'm just every night it's a different name. It's Craig Porter Jr. I mean, Tristan got in last night. Come on, man.
You've got a lot of guys though that can play in the backcourt, and I just
front court, backcourt. He's making all the right moves.
I just think we should pay attention. You're 16-1. The last thing this team needs right now is to bust it up. Okay? Why would you do that?
I'm really hesitant on breaking it up right now. I know why you would. However,
if something happens and some guy from one other team becomes hugely available, let's just say a stud small forward, a stud power forward, somebody really good, and they want a point guard, and you've got Darius here, and I don't want to trade Darius. Do not get me wrong. But I just think it gives Kobe Altman some food for thought because Kenny Atkinson is getting great stuff out of Ty Jerome. Craig Porter has played really well. LeVert looks like LeVert when he played for Kenny Atkinson before. And then you got Jalen Tyson stepping in and doing what he did last night. And the way he passes the ball, you know, he can play guard at 6'6". It's something to think about. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We're well.
Hey.
Yeah, listen, the Cavs, how exciting this season has been so far. I mean, and I'm with you, Jeff. I'll just full disclosure, I was a little upset when they let JB go. I thought, you know, he'd done a good job. He'd taken the team a little forward every year. And so I was scratching my head on that. But, wow. The change has been amazing, and I'm loving every minute of it. And to me, I think the couple biggest parts of it are that we're fourth best in the entire NBA in points in the paint. And I love the emphasis on the guys getting into the paint and scoring in the paint. I mean, you have two big guys.
Yeah, and it's not just the big guys, Kevin. You're right about that.
You're right, yes. Everybody's getting into paint. And you know, when you have two big guys in there, it helps the other guys also. Creates open lanes and things like that for the other guys to drive in, and I think that's fantastic. And surprisingly, by the way, we are the number one team in three-point shooting percentage, but then that goes along with our number of shots that have gone down. So I love the direction that our coach has taken us. More emphasis in the paint, more emphasis, less emphasis on three-point shot, and it's clearly led to a lot of wins. And I'm with you, Jeff. I'm very excited when I see LeVert and Jerome come in. Pound sign, time Jerome, sixth man of the year. I think he could make a run at it.
Kevin, thank you very much. So
nothing better than a verbal hashtag.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here where you're looking at this and seeing so much depth that guys aren't going to play. And I don't know that it screams trade. In fact, I think it screams anything but because you're 16-1. But there are some things on the table here. Would you like stand pat, folks? I say yes, but But keep your eyes open. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.